Welcome to Bar Fights with attorney and advocate Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter and advocating for legal, cultural, and political change everywhere in order to protect children and vulnerable adults. Joining the conversation are survivors, advocates, lawyers, media personalities, athletes, celebrities, authors, wellness aficionados, and many more. Because bringing real justice takes a team of experts who care. Now, leading the fight is your host, Sarah Klein.
Happy Monday, you guys. Welcome back to Bar Fights. I'm so happy you're here. I know I say this every week. This could be one of the most important episodes that we've ever done. Why? Because it answers the number one question I get, which is, please give me advice as a parent or as an adult who loves a child, how to keep them safe. And that, to me as a mom, is information that I crave, especially like people think I have all the answers for that. I have some ideas. I get asked that a lot, but I'm not the expert in this field. So here on Bar Fights, we're bringing you the experts. Today's guest is named Diane Tarantini, and she's an award-winning writer. She's a mommy of three grown kids, but a mommy nonetheless. And in addition to writing books and blog posts, she is a body safety educator out of West Virginia. She's also a survivor of child sexual abuse. Her goal, like mine, is to keep children safe. Diane, welcome to Bar Fights.
Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to be here.
Oh my gosh. So I want to jump into a few different things. You are the author of this incredible book, which I'm holding right now, which has been invaluable to go through with my 8-year-old daughter. It's called The Brave Knight, and it is a children's book. And it is written in a way that's accessible for children to learn the lessons without us having to tell these big, huge, scary, crazy stories of you know, the bad guys. So I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about what your work is, a body safety educator, what that is, what that means, and all the things. So first, why don't you take us back a little bit and talk to us about why you're interested in this field, what brought you to this, and the process sort of getting to the point of writing The Brave Knight.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm a survivor of child sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And when I address audiences, grownups or kids, I always give a few details, never anything graphic. I always say my abuse experience was familial. Mm-hmm. It was COXA, which is child on child sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And so ever since the fourth grade, Sarah, I've known two things. I'd get counseling and I'd write a book. Mm. I actually thought it would be my memoir, because mm-hmm. I thought my story is compelling and it will help other people. But with the work I do as a body safety educator, a book leapfrogged in front of my memoir. So I'm really good at talking in front of groups. And that's a skill, you know, it's like the number one fear of a whole lot of people. But
really
I can do it.
Is.
I love it. It's my joy. I feel like I'm doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So with my background as a survivor, I approached a nonprofit in my state that provides body safety assemblies in public schools. Mm-hmm. They always, and I think this is beautiful, they always include a survivor who shares a little bit of their story, because often a child will disclose when they are introduced to a person with their same lived experience. So I shadowed a policeman who was doing the work, another survivor who was doing the work. And like, I don't know, 6 months or a year into it, the founder of the nonprofit said, Diane, you're a writer. Could you write a book for children, which in a non-threatening way teaches them, shows them what grooming is, And my definition of grooming is a process by which a sexual predator will gain the trust of a potential victim and sometimes their family. It can even be their community. So I have an MFA in creative nonfiction. I am also a journalist. Like writing for kids was never on my radar. But as a survivor, it felt like a very important thing that I was being asked to do. So we had a creative brainstorm. The name of the nonprofit I work with is Shield Task Force. They wanted a shield to be in the book. You've got the book, so you know how the shield plays a part. And so we had our creative brainstorm on a Tuesday night, right before the pandemic started. Oh my goodness. I think it was like February or March of that year. And 4 days later, on a Saturday morning, before coffee, I woke up with the story fully formed in my brain.
Oh my gosh.
And I walked over to my desk in our bedroom and I typed out 1600 words. I read it out loud to my husband. He goes, "How did you do that?" I'm like, "I'm really not sure." Sent it to the nonprofit guy. He said, "It's exactly what we need." And then a couple more people spoke into the project. And then, it was a little stalled by the pandemic. So I had the idea to put the resources that are in the back of the book. And my daughter is an elementary school teacher in Virginia, and she wrote the discussion questions and the extension activities. And then we also had, I put in the list of resources like the crisis text line. Any child can call, any human, I think, can text 741 741 24/7 every day of the year and talk to someone who's trained to speak with a person who's in crisis. I put the suicide hotline because so many survivors feel so much shame and guilt that they may experience suicidal ideation. But so the manuscript was done, and then another nonprofit asked to see the manuscript. They read it and they said, "We will pre-order 7,000 copies so that every single foster child in West Virginia can have a copy if you can get it done in 2 months." So that ruled out traditional publishing. I had to do the whole thing myself. But I had written the hard part, so now my illustrator had to do all those drawings.
Which are absolutely amazing, and I love like where the story takes a turn and the illustrations are like dark and black. Like you, it's just really, really beautifully done.
Thank you.
And the other thing, like you said, that I love about it are the discussion questions and are the extension activities. When I went through it with my daughter, it like took the pressure off of me.
Oh,
Come up
yes.
with like, well, what did you think about this? And what do you know, it gave you like
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
specific things to talk about and conversation starters. And then the extension activities we need to get into, and the resources we need to get into too. But I love what you said. I interview so many writers and authors on this podcast, and a theme that I have never experienced, but I hope to someday in life, is what you described, where the story kind of comes through you, right? Like it's you can't really explain how it happened or when it happened, but like was a story that needed to be born, and you were sort of the vessel for that story to come through and come out. I love that.
Yes,
I
thank
think
you.
that's so amazing how that happened. So we're gonna come back to the book, which when you said foster kids are getting this, like, hello, perfect.
Yeah,
Think
wish it
all
happened
kids,
in every state.
in every state, but also all kids in elementary, right? Like
Yes,
kids should have this
yes,
book, period.
yes.
I just made a note to talk to my daughter's school about it. So I'll let you know, but talk to me just a little bit in general about what a body safety educator is. I think that's brilliant too. What do you do? Where do you go? How does it work? And how does the book sort of fit into your work as a body safety educator?
Okay, so 38 states have passed Aaron's Law. Aaron is a survivor. You probably know this. Aaron is a survivor of, I believe, familial sexual abuse at the hands of a cousin. And she made it her life's work go girl, to get every state in the country to mandate body safety assemblies where a child learns what's okay and what's not okay with regards to their body and how to tell a safe adult. So that's every school has to do it. So many will put it on their teachers or their school counselors when they could literally, there are, I'm not the only person doing this. My nonprofit, the nonprofit I work with, is not the only one. There's lots of curriculum that can do this, but I believe that just schedule a school assembly and let the professionals do it. A really wonderful thing that we do on our team is the nonprofit that purchased those books from us has trained listeners. And they send them with, like, four of them with me, and they wear lanyards. So if before, during, or after any child needs to tell anything, I'm being bullied, I'm hungry, I feel I'm starting to think about taking my own life, they just can, they know that there's safe people there that they can speak with. A lot of times they won't because they're in front of a 200 peers. So that's why we stay around the school. Like, we'll stay for lunch and I'll just walk around. But I have, like, I'm telling you, I'm not bragging, but I have a website that's DianeTarantini.com, and I write so many child safety blog posts. And the last one I did is how to become a body safety educator. And it literally, it's just all my best practices. It's I tell people, call a school and say, do you provide a body safety assembly? Who does it? Can you give me the name of the organization or the individual so that I can call them? And then you call that organization or that individual and say, I'm interested in doing this work. So you have to have a pretty liberal, like, work schedule that you can just, like, you can go spend a half a day at a school. You have to be uncomfortable in front of 200 to 300 middle schoolers or fourth and fifth graders, or even high schoolers. I've done high schoolers. There's another woman who's done a lot more high school assemblies. They intimidate me a little bit. And you just have to have super high energy, and be able to control a crowd. Because, you know, middle schoolers are, I feel like the middle school fairy
Wow.
tapped me on the shoulder because, yeah, they're the Wild West out there.
They sure are. I'm just looking at your website and this blog post, which I love. And you guys, you need to go check this out, DianeTarantini.com. But this Aaron's Law, I don't even know if the state I live in has passed Aaron's Law. I'm a mom of two little girls. I work in child safety.
Yes.
I don't even know.
Yes, and
I don't
that's
even
something you
know.
could inquire about in a legislature. If you go to aaronslaw.com or .org, I believe, you see the map of the US, you find your state, and if it's blue, you're good. But again, a lot of people are like, oh, our homeroom teachers cover that. So here you've got, like, Mr. 80-year-old world history who's having to tell people, don't send nudes. Don't let people grab your butt in the hall. You know, it's not a, yeah, it's, I
But
think
I
it's
also have to
ideal.
say, in my work, a lot of times the perpetrator is the teacher,
Oh, truly.
or is the
Yes.
coach, or is the school counselor.
Yes.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense if that's the person teaching body safety in your school. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yes. 90% of abusers are known by the victim. 60% of them are known and trusted by the victim and the family. So stranger danger is a lie. So don't believe that.
For sure. And so the book, how is it used in your work? Who do you recommend it for? Did you have an age range in mind when you wrote the book? Who's sort of our target audience here?
So when I wrote it, I believe it's really cool that it's an allegory. So there's the characters are a young girl, a dragon, and they live in a town at the foot of a high mountain, and they're best friends until they're not. And then, I mean, it's a bit of a spoiler for the grown-ups. The dragon just starts doing and saying things that are not okay, and they're very typical of what a predator will do, or even a bully, or even a friend headed down a bad path, or like in time, a bad date mate. I have a friend who speaks to college audiences, and she goes, Diane, college kids could absolutely learn from this. I know a woman who works at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. She used to be a middle school principal, and she goes, this book fills a gap in the middle school child safety literature. Because so many child safety books are little, cherub, Charlie Brown looking kids. And we intentionally made our drawings kind of edgy and cool. So Amazon has labeled it as good for 4 to 10 year olds. I have friends that bought it for their preschooler. But since it's a dragon that is doing it, and there's no breasts, there's no vocabulary words. I never say abuse or predator or sex. There, a child, I believe, will experience the book one of two ways. That character turned out to be a bad friend. Or they're going to say, I have a dragon in my life. There's been. My nonprofit has shifted a little bit to middle school and high school. But when we did grade schools, I would read it. Oh my goodness. I love doing read aloud. I don't know if you do read aloud at your girls' school. But you do, like you talked about the turn in a story where you have a physical representation of the dragon going bad. And you just see the eyes on the kids open up. Teachers tell me we read the story, and the kids 100%,
I just saw
Oh,
that page, you guys, in the
he
book.
gets super, super mean all of a sudden. And honestly, that some of the things that that dragon do, they're like kind of modeled after the individual who caused me harm. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, you guys, the questions you need to be asking your schools, what is
Yes.
protocol? What are we, adhering to Aaron's Law? Are we an Aaron's Law state? What kind of body safety education is my child getting? I went to public school in the state of Michigan way back when the, 80s and 90s, and all we were ever taught was about puberty,
Oh,
starting
yeah.
kid, what's
Yeah, here's your deodorant,
the
here's your pads. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. It was really more of like a biology lesson, a bad biology lesson of
Yeah.
like boys have penises, girls have vaginas, girls have periods and boobs, boys have, testosterone or whatever. But it was never about boundaries, body in relation to other people,
Yes. Yes.
and in relation to sort of right, wrong. The concept of grooming, that is something that even some adults have never heard of or never
Right.
understood. The idea of teaching that to a child is genius.
Yeah.
What have you, give me some examples. Like, have you had kids disclose to you, this person's giving me, my teacher's giving me gifts, or, what kinds of grooming things have you seen as you work with
So I
children?
actually wrote a Grooming 101 post, and it's really solid. It's excellent. And in it, and this is slightly, it can be a hard watch, I include a link to when a predator, he tells what he does. He tells what he does when he's like grooming the child or even the parents. A lot of times it's children on the margins. So for like socioeconomic status, like physical disabilities, emotional disabilities, mom's a single mom, poverty, maybe mental health issues. So those are children that are at risk. 7 to 13 year olds are highly at risk, maybe with 12 year old being the peak there. But this guy was like, I try to be as helpful as possible to the adults. Like, you should go out for girls' night. Let me babysit. Or I can bring the kids home after baseball practice. Like, do you need a grocery shop? Do you need a mani-pedi? Go for it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it shows up with grooming the adult that has to trust in order to allow that person access, one-on-one access. A fantastic resource for parents is the darknesstolight.org website. And they say 80% of abuse incidents are when the child is in isolation with one other person. There's no adult supervision. There might be closed doors. So you want to limit those circumstances. And then with a child, don't we all want to be seen and heard and told we're beautiful and smart and talented? They go after that. They build that, like, I don't know at what point, maybe from birth, that we start trying to become independent from our parents, and they try to foster that. They're like, let's have this cool relationship over here. And like, well, we can text after your bedtime and nobody has to know. Like, so secret keeping is big. They can give kids cell phones that can enable contact to help. And on a lot of the social media p platforms, you can send money or gifts. So the, I am not an online safety expert. You should have one of those on. But I would recommend Protect Young Eyes or someone from BARC Technologies. I look at them all the time. They have the most cutting edge. They just came out with I think it was Roblox, where there's areas of the game where the characters are now naked and being provocative to one another. So defend young minds
The online stuff is really just a whole new universe, and you're right, we do need to dive into that because that is a whole thing. I love so much, you guys. I can't stress enough. DianeTarantini.com, this blog post about Am I Being Groomed? She uses the word parts. And let me go through what stands for, okay? And this is like every case I have can fall into exactly what you describe here when it comes to who the perpetrator is, right? P is for praise. You're so beautiful. You're the best soccer player on the team. You know, you're so great. You're the smartest kid in my class, right? A for attention, as you
What's
said.
R? We skipped R.
Oh, P, well, okay, we're
Oh, it's
going
parts. I'm sorry.
to,
You're right.
yeah. Parts. A for attention. You already mentioned this. Feeling seen, feeling understood, you know, the shy kid in the back of the class or the kid that never gets picked for the team. All of a sudden they're getting attention, and that feels really good. We have R for replace. Talk to me about this one. Replace the victim's loved ones. Talk to me. What is replace?
It's just what they will do the isolation thing. And it's what I was saying that, like, let's have this secret relationship over here. And for a child, that's titillating. That's exciting. That's flirty. That someone desires me. And even if they're young, that still is compelling.
Yeah, because it's
So,
cool. Yeah, no one understands you like me.
Oh my goodness,
They
yes,
don't
that
get
one.
you like I do.
Exactly.
I love this one. They treat you like a baby. I can see how grown up you are. You're so much more mature than how your mom treats you. What do
Exactly.
you think about that? What
They
do
are kind
you?
of dogging your parents or dogging your, the people who are raising you.
And then T, we have trust building. Right? This person is building trust with you. They'll be there when you need them to pick you up, or things that just create that trustworthy bond of I'm here when you need me. Now send me a sexy pic and you can trust me, right? It just sort of can flow right into that. S in parts for sexualize. Once
Yeah.
PART is in place,
Yeah.
the offender can now move into that sexualized place and take
So
it
it's hugs and
level.
arms. The hugs get longer, they get
Yeah.
closer. It's just that incremental desensitization and the kind of mutes the warning bells that a child might have going off in their head. If it happens slow enough, it's like the frog in the pot of boiling water. If you do it
Yeah.
slow enough, like groomers can take a year. Like
Yep.
these predators can take a
Or
year to lay the
more.
groundwork,
Yeah.
especially if it's a large group situation where they are looking at a lot of victims. So
Yeah.
they really want to be solid. Now, I'm
Yeah.
going to say one thing that the PARTS acronym is actually from a review of a book I did. That was her acronym, and that is from Sandy Phillips Kirkham book, Let Me Prey Upon You. So she was victimized by a youth pastor at her church. So if you see the cover, it's like I think a wolf in sheep's clothing, or a wolf and a sheep, and Let Me Pray For You has been X'd out and turned into Let Me Prey Upon You. So it was a church setting
Well, I was
where.
just going to say, like when I'm reading through this, I'm like, this is a lot of my church victims. The perpetrator, the priest, the clergy person, was part of the family, was
Yes,
dear
yes.
friends with the parents and guiding them and, spiritually directing them and at dinner at the house all the time. And, and then it moves into that. We've groomed the whole family. Now I'm going to take little Johnny, to church camp and
Yes,
they,
yes.
right? Boom. That's how it
Yeah.
happens. And so we're going to talk about what do we do as parents? What do we do as adults who loves a child? What are these action steps that we can take? But we're not going to do it this week, folks. We're going to do it next week on part two. Come back. The how question is what I get asked more than anything. I don't necessarily have the answers, but Diane Tarantini is going to walk us through DianeTarantini.com. We're going to link to it. Diane, we'll see you next week here on Bar Fights.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
See you then.
Thank you for listening to Bar Fights with attorney Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter. Please check out our website at barfightspodcast.com, Instagram at barfightspodcast, or Twitter at barfights_pod for the latest show updates and archives.